that was beautiful. We are so fortunate. Thank you.
Yes, we are.
In the early 90s, a man by the name of Dave Phillips, he was a Wall Street international banker, successful guy, left his lucrative career and started a nonprofit. It was known as the Children's Hunger Fund, and it was organized for the purpose of feeding malnutrition children throughout the world. He had been on the job. He'd started this about 6 weeks. He got a call from an orphanage in Honduras, and they needed a cancer drug. They had seven of their orphans had this rare form of cancer, and they needed this new cancer drug. Well, he was new at this. He wasn't particularly skilled at the ask. He didn't, you know, he was still learning his way around his own nonprofit. And the call really got to him. He really wanted to help these kids, but it was out of his league. It was more than he could do. This cancer drug that the orphanage in Honduras had asked for was new. It was in limited supply. It was only made by two people. It was extremely expensive. He said that he would do what he could. But then as he hung up, before he hung up, he was inspired and he told the gentleman on the other end, he said, "Let's just pray for a moment." And all he said was, "Lord, please provide for these suffering children." And that's all he said. And he was silent for a moment. And the man on the other end said, "Amen. Thank you." He said, "Now it's in God's hands." He hung up the phone. And his hand was still on the receiver when it rang. And he answered the phone, and it was Mr. Executive Officer of Big Pharma, who happened to be one of the two manufacturers of this cancer drug. And Mr. Executive said, "We have read about the good work that your nonprofit is doing, and we would like to donate 48,000 vials of our new cancer drug," which happened to be the exact drug that the orphanage in Honduras needed. It was worth over $8 million. Amazing things can happen in our lives if we can only accept them, and when we can communicate with the divine. Joel Goldsmith wrote, "One of the great truths taught by the mystics of all ages is that life is lived within out. This means that the whole universe is concentrated at the point where you are. The most profound knowledge that you can attain is that your whole existence flows forth inexorably from universal knowledge, which is accessed by going within." So the title of my talk today is From the Inside Out. But I think maybe a better title might be Tapping into Universal Knowledge. How do we do that? One of my favorite books, Can We Talk to God? Ernest Holmes opens up the first paragraph. Can we talk to God? We all know that we can talk at God, but it is a different proposition to consider whether we can talk to God. I am considering the topic from the standpoint of communication. And unless we are conscious that we are talking to God, and God is conscious that he is being talked to, we certainly cannot communicate with God. There can be no real communication without a reciprocity of ideas. Either we can talk to God or we cannot. If we cannot, we might as well realize it and no longer try. But if we can, we feel certain that a little conversation with the deity would do us more good than much conversation with one another. Old Ernie has a way of writing that is. So what is this universal knowledge, and how do we go about accessing it? This universal knowledge is all that has ever been, all that is right now, and all that ever will be. And it encompasses that field of infinite possibilities, the quantum field of infinite possibilities. I want to give you an example, kind of what I'm talking about. Yesterday morning, I woke up and made the coffee, remember, Hebrews, and I looked in and we were out of my favorite creamer. Well, I have two choices. I can go to Cars, which is closer, but they only have the little half pint size, or I can drive about 5 miles further round trip and go to Fred Meyer's, where they have the quart size, and the quart only costs a few pennies more than the little half pint at Cars. So I have a choice to make, and I can do A or B. Our lives are filled with those kinds of choices. Here we are. Here's little Don there, the little red guy. And he made a choice of where he was going to go buy his coffee creamer. The other side, the dark one, is the choice that he did not make. But that choice exists in that infinite field of possibilities. It still exists there, and it's part of that infinite intelligence, the universal mind, the all that is. And everything that we do goes through that process. And we don't know what the outcomes could be on any one of those. Had I chosen to go to the other store, I might have got in the roundabout and had somebody come through at 100 miles an hour and T-bone me. We don't know what all of those different possibilities are. So that field of infinite possibility, that universal knowledge, encompasses all of those quantum possibilities. Now, all of our diagrams are interconnected. I've got all of my choices, the ones I made, the ones I didn't make, the things that I didn't do, and you've got yours, and they all mesh, and they all fit together like the wheel on a giant clock in the universe. And that is universal knowledge. So how do we go about accessing this field of universal knowledge? Well, one way is through channeling. And when I think of channeling, I think of maybe a gypsy woman with all kinds of scarves in a dimly lit room and a crystal of some type, maybe a ball, and asking questions, and there's weird voice coming out with these answers. And I think that stereotype has hurt a lot of people, because I think that there really are people that do have that connection. They can talk to the universe. They can talk to spirit on a regular basis with a firm connection. We don't have to be in a dimly lit room with a crystal. Then there are mediums, those people that seem to be able to do that. Sometimes they can converse with the deceased. Sometimes they can have connections with others. But the important thing here is that you can do it. Each and every one of us has that ability within us at this and in every moment. In fact, you know, you can ask questions and you can get answers. And every one of us does it every day. We do it, for one thing, through our five senses. That's how we know. We're built with these noses that smell, with feet that walk, with fingers that touch, eyes that see, ears that hear. Through our five senses, we are perceiving different aspects of the divine, different aspects of one another. Did you ever just have a good feeling about somebody? You just like that guy, or you just like that gal, or conversely, you don't feel too comfortable around that. That is what I'm talking about. It is that feeling. And that is part of the universal knowledge, and that is your reaction to it. Now, every person is different. Getting answers is very much like our spiritual practice of visioning. Now, we talked a lot about the visioning in our announcements this morning. It's an important part of what we do. And in visioning, we open ourselves up to Spirit's highest ideal for whatever project or whatever it is we're working on. And we're opening up to that universal mind, that infinite intelligence. People get different things. You know, some people get words or images. Other people get sounds. Some just get hunches. I'm more of a hunch kind of guy. I know that, you know, there are people that say, you know, God told me to do this or whatever. Man, I have yet to hear that James Earl Jones voice booming out of the sky, "Don, go do this." It hasn't happened to me. No burning bushes. Haven't seen any of that. The closest I can get is, it seemed like a good idea at the time. You know, but I think that's part of it. And maybe, you know, on the scale of learning about how to do this, maybe I'm in junior high. You know, there are some of you out there I know that have got doctorates in connecting with the divine. You know, right now I'm happy with junior high. I'm kind of glad I got out of kindergarten. But we can all do it to a certain extent. So how do we go about it? Well, the first thing, I think the best thing that we can do is meditate. Get into a meditative state. When you can quiet your mind, you can get your mind out of the way. The stream of your universal knowledge is always open. You cannot stop it from flowing, but you can stop yourself from accessing it. Limiting beliefs, fears, addictions, all pinch off the flow. Just ask a question. Any question you like, any way you like. You can do it out loud. You can do it in your mind. You can just do it in your head. It doesn't matter. Just focus on exactly what it is you want to know and then listen for an answer. Pay attention to what you receive. Any signs or coincidences that may show up. You may get words. You may just get a strong feeling. You might find the answer in a book, overhear a conversation, turn on the radio just at the right time. It can be anything, and it most likely will not come right away. When you ask, I don't think generally, boom, you get the answer right then. Asking a question and perceiving the answer are different skills. So you basically have to learn to switch between transmitting a question and receiving the answer. So relax, go do something else. The answer will find you. A guy by the name of Stu Reininger was a writer. He had lost his job. He was passionate about boating and the ocean, specifically sailing. He loved to sail. But he also loved to write, and he was a very, very good writer. He was a single dad, had a teenage daughter, and he was faced with the dilemma of having to rip her up out of school again and move to a different location in order to take a job that would pay the bills. He was desperately searching for work in the area that he was in New York, so that he wouldn't have to take her out of school again. And that would be good enough for him. I mean, his dream, what he really had opened himself up for, was some type of a job where he could do both, where he could be involved with boating and sailing and also be able to write. He applied. He didn't get offers. He was kind of stuck on where he was. He had received an interview. He went in, and it was a disaster. By all accounts, he knew he wasn't getting that job. It was not a fit either way. And he was on his way home. The subway that he was supposed to take didn't run. It was broke down somewhere. So all of the passengers from that subway flocked over to the next one. So here he was, crammed in this packed subway car in New York in the middle of summer. It was hot. It was miserable. And he gets right next to a large man with a newspaper. And this guy is reading his newspaper as they're going. And every time he turned the page, whap! Stu would get smacked with the newspaper. Oh. And he just grit his teeth and continued to bear it. And that guy's reading, whap! He gets it again. Just opened himself up to a higher expression, opened himself up to a possibility that he maybe hadn't even thought of yet. He did a little prayer, just a quiet little prayer. Whap! He got it again. Guy turned another page. He settled back down again, and just then, wouldn't you know, whap, he gets hit with another. So at this point, he decided he's going to turn around and give this guy a piece of his mind. He turned around, and there he is staring right into the want ads of the New York Times. And there right in front of him is an ad, wanted technical writer for a boating magazine. Reply to box so-and-so. Well, this thing is so crowded, he can't even get his hand in his pocket to get a pencil out to write it down. So he memorized the P.O. box. He got home and quickly wrote it down, and he wrote a quick letter, and off went his resume, and he sent it. A couple weeks later, he got a reply. He got an invitation for an interview. He went in. The interview went well, and it must have went well because he got called back for a second interview, and after the second interview, he got offered the position of assistant technical writer for Boating Magazine, which is the biggest magazine evidently on the East Coast. Now, he was being done for power boats. He knew some of power boats, but that really wasn't his strength. His strength was sailing. But he wrote it. He did it. Within a few months, he was promoted to technical editor, power boats. Then he was promoted to overall technical editor, and he became the technical editor for Boating Magazine, where she stayed in that position for 7 years, which time his daughter graduated from high school and she went on to college. She graduated from college, and he was able to support it. The universe was trying to get him in that position. Whap! And it took a whole bunch of whaps in the face with the New York Times before he was able to open up to it. And that's what I'm talking about. We need to be open to what the universe is saying. It doesn't always come in James Earl Jones or burning bushes. It can be in a New York Times up alongside the head. Keep a journal of your questions and the answers you get. Especially in the beginning, you might have a hard time trusting the information that comes through. You'll think that it's just your own voice in your head or a coincidence. Oh, it's just a coincidence. Keep track of your results. It'll help you to spot patterns. Pay attention to how it feels when you get an answer. Do you resonate with the information? Do you have a reaction to it? Does it feel true? Over time, you'll come to recognize the answers that you receive much more quickly. You'll learn to trust your intuition. So, little home assignment, if you should decide to do it. One of the best ways to start is to simply ask the universe or that universal database to show you that you are loved. Ask the universe for a sign to show you that you are loved. And then send love out into the universe. Send love out to everyone and everything, including that politician you can't stand, including the guy that whaps you in the subway with his newspaper. Send love out into the universe and see what comes back. Here's a few more guidelines. Although you will very likely ask about your future, keep in mind that the information that you're receiving is an indication of the vibration that you're currently offering. If, for example, you want to know if you're going to get a promotion, you are really asking if you are currently lined up with getting that promotion, or if that promotion is in line with what you are vibrating. The universe cannot tell you that you will definitely get it because you are at free choice. You might quit the job tomorrow. You're at choice to do that. So the universe can't dictate that because you are at choice. And don't ask should I questions. The universe is not going to take away your choices. You're not going to be told what to do. Get clear on the outcome that you really want and then ask which choice will get you closer to that goal. This process is like going to the gym. It's like working out. It's like a muscle. And it gets stronger the more you use it. So the conclusion, what I want you to take away today is that tapping into universal knowledge deliberately and consciously takes practice. You are simply remembering how to do something you already know how to do. It's within each and every one of us. You don't have to go into a trance. You don't have to bring forth the entire body of knowledge of all of the universe. Just your little question. Practice getting out of the way. Keep track of the information you get. Learn to trust the answers you receive. Accessing the universal database can help bring you reassurance and clarity on who you are. Open your eyes to possibilities that you had never dreamed of. So if you think this is something that you would like to do, give it a try. It's easier than you think. And who knows, just maybe you might get an $8 million donation and be able to save thousands of lives. And so it is with our awareness of our connection to that universal database, that infinite intelligence, the universal mind, that I invite my colleagues, the practitioners, to join me in holding our congregation in love. Just simply knowing that that infinite intelligence is indeed present at every moment in time and at every point in space, and therefore that infinite intelligence is within each and every one of us always. And the nature of that infinite intelligence, that universal mind, is one of love. It is one of prosperity and abundance. It is one of perfect health. Behind every appearance of dis-ease, there is that which knows perfection. And that which knows perfection, physical perfection, is within each and every one of us. And it is that physical perfection that I call forth now for anyone who is experiencing the appearance of disease. Perfection is our true nature, and that is what I claim. And for those of us who are experiencing lack and limitation, not enoughness, we just know that we live in an infinite universe. We can't begin to count the number of grains of sand on the beach. We can't even count the number of salmon that return to the Alaskan waters. We can't count the stars in the sky. We can't even count the galaxies. Infinite. And And it is all ours, up to the point that we are able to receive it. And it's for those that are experiencing lack that I just know for them that the abundance of the heavens is ours. And finally, the love of God. The nature of that infinite intelligence is one of love. So as we come together as human beings, not human doings, human beings, we come together in love. So any appearance of discord, disharmony dissolves away and it is replaced by the love of God. Every relationship, whether it be romantic relationship, whether it be work, family, it doesn't make any difference because it's all the love of God. So we just give thanks now. We give thanks for perfect health, for abundance, and for the love of God. And now we can just sit back and accept all of God's good. Allow it to be, and so it is.